Hey there, curious minds. Welcome back to another episode of Curious Katie O. As you know, season two is all about diving into the world of books, books that inspire you, provoke you, may want you to flip through the pages in the middle of the night, or maybe driving you nuts because you don't know what's going to happen next. Today's episode is really exciting because we're talking about one of the most influential and often misunderstood, fascinating figures in American history. We're talking about Alexander Hamilton. And he's become super popular because of the Broadway hit, Hamilton. But don't get it kind of twisted. We're not going to talk about the Broadway interpretation of that. You know, long before Lin-Manuel Miranda turned Hamilton into some phenomenon of what it did for Broadway and bringing people to the theater and talking about history. He actually got inspired by the book we're going to talk about today that I've read, Ron Chernow's Alexander Hamilton. And that was the book that Lin-Manuel read that actually inspired him to write the musical because he saw a lot of himself in the character of Alexander Hamilton. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the book today. And we're going to talk about things that a lot of people might not have known about Hamilton, why he's often, you know, really overlooked among the founding fathers of this country, what made him really unique, and what is still around today because of some of the things that he put in place. And we'll share some quotes from the book. We'll share some different stories along the way. But let's get started because this book, to me, was really a fascinating and great read. So the first thing is that he was crazy young when all this stuff went down. You know, we often picture the founding fathers as these like seasoned guys. And in reality, they were like barely out of their teenage years. You know, we think of, you know, oh, they were in their 30s and 40s and 50s and they were writing declarations and doing all these grown-up things. But Hamilton was like literally just under 20 years old when he really got started into what led down his path. So he was born in the Caribbean and faced a really tough upbringing. You know, we're talking about a childhood where his dad bailed when he was around 10 and his mom died just a few years later. By the time he was 16, he was actually running a business at the docks, and he was doing all of the financials and managing the business and managing the inventory and everything that was happening with it. And what happened was a hurricane hit St. Croix, where he was living. And Hamilton wrote such a passionate account of what that hurricane was like to him and his community that the local leaders saw something in him. And they actually pooled money together that he did not have to send him to America. They thought that would take his talent that he had and put him in a place where he could be successful. You know, imagine that idea. Imagine being so persuasive as a teen who had written an article, which would become something he would do quite a bit, that people are like, that kid needs to go change the world somewhere. So we're going to collect a fund and go send him to do that. You know, the author talks about in the book, this was a great quote, "Few men have seen their lives change as dramatically or swiftly as Alexander Hamilton's when he left the Caribbean for New York." And I think that's really an understatement when you look at where he came from, what he was living in the moment, and what happened ultimately when he moved. You know, and I think when you look at it and you look through the lens of this book, his challenging upbringing actually drove him to constantly try to prove that he was worthy. So he wanted to be better, smarter, faster. He wanted to outdo the people behind him. He had this complex to say, I probably shouldn't have been here, so I need to prove every day that I deserve to be here. You know, how many stories have a challenging start that end up with someone wanting to show the world that they're worthy of more, only to find out, like what happens in most of these stories, that you're worthy the whole time. You just didn't know what it was or what that meant or what it looked like. And that's really the story of Hamilton's, you know, moving from the Caribbean to getting his first taste of what it was like in the American colonies. So let's talk about why he gets overlooked a lot. There's probably a lot of theories. That was the second really big thing that came out of the book is, you know, Hamilton, you're like, oh, he's on like a bill, and I think he did something with finance, right? We all studied the Founding Fathers in school. We all studied all of these things, but like he just doesn't come up a lot. He's nobody's like favorite Founding Father. So let's talk about why, when you compare him to people like Washington, Jefferson, Franklin, even Adams, you know, why he's often overlooked. For one, he wasn't born into wealth or status like some of the others. So he didn't have this big, you know, wealth behind him or land behind him or some kind of status. He really had to claw his way up. Plus, he did not like playing politics. So his political enemies, and he had many, including Thomas Jefferson, like, he had so many enemies. He was not into playing politics. And so he wasn't this person that everybody loved and was endeared to. And of course, there's the infamous duel with Aaron Burr, who was the vice president at the time. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But he had such an animosity towards people and politics that he really was this island unto himself a lot of times. You know, his rise to the top was really fast, but it was also furious, right? He left a lot of, we'll call it bodies in his wake, and his downfall was just as quick. And so he was more of this whirlwind of like brilliant, spicy personality, but he didn't make friends and influence people. What he did was he used logic and he wrote to try to tear his opponents down or make his case. And so this is how the author explains it in the book. Hamilton was at his best a whirlwind of energy, but at his worst, he could be recklessly impetuous. So in those moments, and it might have been just like, let's face it, because he was young, that might be part of it, but he was this energy and excitement, but he often did not think through what he was actually doing or what the choices he was making, what the outcome would be. So when you think about these dynamic people, there's often people that are charismatic and energy and outgoing who often make really bad decisions. It's this weird tug of war that he had. And so, you know, who hasn't had those moments where you're fiery and excited and you're doing stuff, but then you're also reckless because you didn't think it through or you didn't take the time or you didn't slow down? And what are those impacts when that happens? The third thing was he was like a finance nerd. So finance nerds often don't get written about. They're not celebrated. I mean, we know some of them today just because of the impact that they have on our lives and the economy. But like he was a total finance nerd. And so he loved this idea of creating an economy for this new fledgling company and country. And so, you know, one of his legacies is the financial system we use today. And so you can thank him or you can blame him, depending on your approach, for the U.S. banking system, our federal government's approach to debt, and even the stock market, because those were things that when he became the first Secretary of the Treasury, he pushed those things through. He had a vision for turning this United States, you know, fledgling country into this financial powerhouse. He knew that money would be the way to get influence and power and respect. So he created the idea of a national bank and argued for managing debt. And he even set up tariffs that helped protect American industries so that you didn't have other countries that were already established coming and dumping cheap things. He knew that developing an economy based in the country as much as you can and managing your own set of money and debt was going to become a key. You know, here's what the author writes in the book. In the pantheon of America's financial forefathers, Hamilton stands alone. He foresaw a modern economy before most could even dream it. So the things that we take advantage of today, right, using credit cards, borrowing money from the bank, all of these different infrastructure things, even thinking about what we manufacture locally versus not, and some of the debates that go on with that, you know, a lot of that came from the philosophy that Hamilton first really developed that the country is still living on. He knew before others that a nation that didn't have the power and money of a king would need other power to be able to influence and spread out. And so he used money as the way to do that. And that power came from money that needed to be thought about differently. You know, they came from a structure where the king owned the money and the power. And so what he was doing was he was financing what was needed to get the nation off the ground, right? Think of like a startup and what was required to get the economy going. And once that economy had the kind of power and influence he envisioned, he knew that that would come with long-term financial benefit, not only for the people in the country, but potentially broader in the world. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the musical. So how did this book inspire the Broadway sensation? So Lin-Manuel Miranda stumbled upon this book while vacationing and really saw Hamilton as this figure who felt like an immigrant story, right? In the play, he does this scrappy and hungry, this underdog who rose from nothing to make huge changes in the world and influence top people, like becoming so close with the first president of the United States. And Miranda said that when he read the book, Hamilton's life was so extraordinary, it felt like a hip-hop narrative in the making. Now, I did not have that interpretation when I read the book, but I'm also not Lin-Manuel Miranda. But I did read it, and there were points along the way that I said, you know, I kind of like history. I felt like I knew history. Then I'm like, he did what? What happened? I didn't know this was a thing. You know, all we tend to know about him is Treasury Secretary and died in a duel, right? And that's where most people have stopped with this character. But he was so much more than that. And so the guy was a relentless wordsmith who basically wrote his way out of poverty into politics and into what he is today. And the author really captures his spirit perfectly with this quote, I think. He says, "His mind was as restless as his mouth, always scheming, always planning." Which I thought was a really great way to describe it. You know, like, how many people do you know where their mind is always churning, their mouth is always talking, they're always got a plan, always got an idea, right? That was kind of the vibe of what he was. I also wanted to share my Hamilton story of Hamilton, you know, watching Lin-Manuel Miranda's play. So after the musical came out, I heard about it, right? Everybody heard about it. I think we all did. I didn't really know anything about the play. All I knew was like people were going to see it. It was this really big deal. I never go to New York, so there was no way I was going to see it. Nobody could get tickets anyway. It was all this big commotion around it. So when it came out on Disney Plus, I decided to subscribe to Disney Plus so I could see it. And one of the reasons why is because I wanted, obviously, I have a kid, so he could watch movies. My husband's into Star Wars. He could watch movies. One of the things for me is I wanted to see Hamilton. So I asked my mother-in-law if she wanted to come over and hang out for the day and we could watch it together. You know, we had known people, both of us that had seen the play, and it was like, oh, we'll check out the play, see what it's about. It's supposed to be really good. So one afternoon in the weekday, we get comfortable, seat on the couch, glass of wine, and we started watching Hamilton. And about 10 minutes into the play, my mother-in-law turns to me and asks, do you think they're going to sing the whole thing? I was thinking the exact same thing. And I said, I think so. Because neither of us knew that it was a musical. So that is my Hamilton story. Really enjoyed it, though. Had to follow it. I've since watched it a couple other times because I missed stuff the first time. But yeah, neither of us knew that it was a musical. So how has Hamilton made an impact today? And that's really the last thing we're going to talk about from the book, because that was a piece of what was mentioned and what was talked about is his legacy didn't necessarily end with him. So what's still around today? You know, if you look at the financial system, that's a piece. He played a huge role in shaping the Constitution. He was a champion of a strong federal government, not necessarily big, but strong. Did it have enough weight to move things, which he knew would be required when you were starting with all these different colonies that all had basically a different philosophy, different mentality? You know, he knew that having some kind of centralized hub was going to be critical. And so he wrote a majority of the Federalist Papers, which were basically the marketing campaign for the Constitution, because not everybody immediately read it and was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love it. They had to debate and really market to the country to make sure that that could go through. And so he wrote a majority of these Federalist Papers that really dissected and examined all the different pieces of the Constitution to try to influence people to understand why it was important. His influence still plays a role in the way our government works today. And so the author has this quote in the book: "Hamilton's vision of a strong central government with a robust executive branch has largely prevailed in American politics." You know, in other words, the country we know today is a version of the country that Hamilton actually imagined. So here are three great quotes from the book, and I think they focus on different aspects of his life, right? If you look through the book, there's the historical significance, there's the war, there's the political piece of it. But there were three aspects of his life that really stood out that I just want to make sure to cover. So there's his family, there's his flaws, and there's his demise. So here's the quote about his wife: "Eliza Hamilton more than fulfilled the vow of 'till death do us part,' spending the next 50 years, this is after Hamilton died, as Hamilton's ever loyal widow, a brave and patriotic woman whose courage and energy would bear constant witness to his memory." And this quote highlights the enduring loyalty and strength that Eliza Hamilton, who worked tirelessly to preserve his legacy after his death. And despite the challenges in their marriage, including his famous affair, her commitment to him and the family did not waver. And she did that even though she knew he was a deeply flawed person. You know, here's another quote: "Hamilton had a personality of volcanic energy, and it could erupt at any moment in ways that surprised even his most ardent admirers." And here the author really captures the duality of his character: his brilliance and drive with a fiery temperament, his impetuous nature that sometimes alienated his peers and friends and created these hugely powerful enemies. And it showcased how his flaws were intertwined with this genius and this vision that he had. And that passion and volcanic energy erupted and really is what caused his death. You know, in one of the most famous duels in history, a founding father and a vice president fired shots at each other. And here's the quote from the book: "He sought to make a point not just with his life, but with his death as well. In his mind, by throwing away his shot, he would both affirm his honor and avoid the ignominy of slaying a sitting vice president." This quote really delves into Hamilton's complex thinking during his final moments, you know, leading to that fatal decision in the duel. And it shows his desire to preserve his honor, consciously choosing not to fire at Burr, an act that would actually lead to his downfall. And this was after these two could not work things out, after he didn't endorse Burr. And they couldn't work it out, and it led to a duel, which is crazy to think about. You know, each of these quotes reflects a different dimension of his life, showing him as a family man, deeply flawed, yet brilliant figure, and a person whose choices ultimately led to his tragic death. So why did the author of this book decide to write about Alexander Hamilton? Well, he talks about how, first of all, he's been overlooked. And he realized that there was so much more to Hamilton than the guy on the $10 bill who lost a duel, right? The thing that we all know. That he was the architect of the modern America in many ways. And his story had been sidelined in favor of these like more dignified, beloved founding fathers. And so Chernow wanted to give Hamilton the credit he deserved and did a deep dive into his life and was more and more fascinated at the complexity and the richness and the tragedy and the authentic nature of what his life entailed. So I hope today's episode gave you a little bit of a deeper appreciation for Alexander Hamilton, this scrappy underdog who not only fought his way into the American dream, but built it in a lot of ways. From his humble beginnings to the dramatic exit that he had, you know, his life was really a nonstop roller coaster fueled by ambition, brilliance, and drama, if you think about it. And if you haven't read his book, it's thick, but I highly recommend picking it up. And it's one of those books that I read it and each chapter taught me something I didn't know. And I had a much deeper appreciation for what the lens that he had into the founding fathers, why he fought so hard for certain things, why he was willing to sacrifice it all for things that he believed in, and what led to that development. It's a really great book. So thanks for tuning into another episode of Curious KDO. If you've got a book that you'd like me to read and review, just send it my way. And hopefully we can catch up next time. If you end up humming the Hamilton soundtrack after this episode, I totally get it. Feel free to like and subscribe or share. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you next time.